Y'all got your drink, fellas.
Got my drink.
It was like, ooh, Al, lips look so good.
I got good everything, Chuck.
What else you got good, Al?
Take a look at that picture I sent you.
I just figured I'd get the girls a little preview of the spring summer collection, aka my body.
It is TGIF. This is what y'all came for, right? Y'all came for this.
Hey everybody, it's your girl Claudia Jordan, and it is Friday, so we are back with another exciting episode of TGIF, where we're here to inform, debate, and break down some of the biggest headlines in news and on social media. Now sit back, relax, and get ready to sip this hot tea, because we got a whole bunch of people to talk about tonight. Please welcome my amazing co-host, multimedia personality, talk show host, Dominican Republic fish tonight, Funky Dineva.
Did you call him fish?
Yes, yeah. Hey y'all from the Dominican Republic.
And please welcome brand strategist Al Reynolds. Al, looking all fit. How you doing, Al?
Thank you. What's up, Claudia?
Hi.
Claudia, he's back at his house with them cheap-ass Z-Gallery in the background.
Y'all love talking crap about me now.
You know what? We can't really talk because both of us look like we in some sex trafficking pit stop hotels. It didn't look.
I don't want to say nothing bad because I don't want to damage nobody's business. But y'all, I'm at one of the raggediest ass resorts. Well, you know what? If you go on my Instagram, I've been tagging the damn place. I'm at the Breathless Resort in Punta Cana, and this thing is so damn raggedy. The food is raggedy, the room is raggedy, the service is raggedy, the entertainment is raggedy. Listen, y'all, I walked in, these people put an alarm clock up here. It don't even have no power cord. It's here for decoration. I'm just over it. I could have stayed home to be embarrassed.
Damn, I stayed at the Breathless in another part of Mexico. I'm sorry, Mexico, not you. You're in Dominican Republic. I stayed in Mexico. Wait, are you in Dominican Republic?
Dominican Republic, Punta Cana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Punta Cana. We stayed in the one in, I think, in Cancun. It was pretty good.
And it's so funny because in October, I'm going to Montego Bay and I'm slated to stay at Breathless again. And I hope that one is giving way more than this one is giving. I mean, last night at dinner, them girls took a half corner cob and cut that bad boy from four. That is going on my Instagram.
Like, look, I'm not an entire cow.
They gave me that kitty ass corn. I'm just over it. I'm ready to go home.
So you were having some problems.
I'm here until Monday, late Monday morning. And I got here Thursday.
Well, you were having some issues I saw on your social media with JetBlue. So what happened on the way down there? So what's going on?
Girl, we got down to the JetBlue, honey. And when it was time to log in, and the thing said, no carry-on bag allowed, only your personal. And if you want to bring a carry-on, if you do bring a carry-on bag, that you will have to pay $65 at the gate. Then it gives you the option to A, check your bag for $35, which I never trust checking my bags on international flights because I don't want my shit to get lost in Cuba while I'm in Greece. Okay. And then I was like, so the only other option was to upgrade your seat for $41 to $54 in order to get a carry-on bag. And it's so funny because when he got to the airport, there were so many people like, what? I don't even get a bag. I mean, you should not have to read the fine print for a carry-on. I mean, that should just come with it. Then my homeboy, he needed to check his bag or whatever. He had a big bag. He went to the front counter, which is pretty intuitive. That's what you do when you got a check bag. Baby, front desk agent Fish rerouted his ass to the kiosk. He had to print out his own damn sticker to put on it. He was all confused and messed. He was like, I don't work here. I don't even know how to put this on the doggone bag. And they would not offer him any assistance. They was like, sir, put it on your bag. Put it over there. I ain't messing with Breathless no more. I am out of breath. These hoes could breathe again. And that blue has turned me misty blue. I am over it.
The airlines are not really
starting in the spirit.
Yes,
sounds like it. First Frontier went down that path first, and now JetBlue. And I used to like JetBlue and Virgin.
It's so funny because they trick you, right? I always say you're gonna pay on the front end or the back end, but you're gonna pay. They trick you because on the front end they give you a cheap ticket, but by the time you pay for toilet paper, the right to use the bathroom, a seatbelt, and your pocketbook, hell, I could have flew Delta.
Oh gosh!
You know, airline travel—it's definitely not like what it used to be. I flew down here, and I'm not trying to stunt or anything, but they sent a car and they put me in first class. But first class isn't even like what it used to be either. Like, they had no monitors in the seats, so they had a little area we could stick your iPhone and watch a movie on your iPhone. So then a lady was on there behind me complaining. She was like, "Where's the monitors? And I don't have the proper headphones." And blah blah blah. Like, it was crazy. It's not what it used to be anymore. I think since 9/11, they should have gotten more humble. And they've gotten more arrogant, I think. I don't know. Anyways.
Especially when you gotta bring your own TV, but go ahead.
All right, let's get into the show. Before we kick off everything, we have some exciting news to share. Fox Soul will be honored at the Black Media Awards next weekend in Atlanta. Are you guys excited about this? It's pretty good that Fox Soul's kind of getting recognized here and there a lot.
That's really cool. This is good.
All right.
We didn't get no invite or no damn tickets.
I was like, do we got to fly ourselves down there? Because I think we should just roll up. Should we just roll up? Atlanta.
I think we should roll up.
I mean, you know, I'm down for showing out on the red carpet about where our tickets are.
You know what? We might have to make that be our next little reunion trip. Maybe Atlanta next weekend.
Let's do it.
Well, I would ask what everybody's sipping on, but who's drinking tonight? There's no mini bar in this. This is one of them hotels that doesn't even have room service. So I got the water that I bought on the plane.
I bought some Henny from the duty free.
It's gonna be one of those shows.
I know, right? I hope so.
Al, what you sipping on?
Green tea.
Are you sick?
We'll talk about it.
The answer goes with one of our stories. So
it goes with one of our stories. We'll talk about it.
Oh shoot!
I know, right?
Okay. All right. Let's get into it. Let's get into some hot topics. All right. Well, Bill Cosby is pleading the Fifth Amendment in a civil lawsuit that alleges he sexually assaulted a 15-year-old at the Playboy Mansion in 1974. Cosby's attorney said that Bill will invoke his right to remain silent in fear that he could possibly be prosecuted again. Now, the woman, Judy Huth, alleges that Cosby gave her and a friend pills and alcohol at the Playboy Mansion before he sexually assaulted her. She did try to sue Cosby in court in 2014, but the case was put on hold in 2016 due to another criminal case that was against Cosby. What do you think about these allegations, A, and B, out of curiosity, what was a 15-year-old doing at the Playboy Mansion?
I was just going to say that. This one should be thrown out by the simple fact that her 15-year-old ass should have been in economics class and not down to the damn Playboy Mansion. She need to be suing her damn parents, okay? And if anything, she need to be retroactively suing with Child Protective Services and not Bill Cosby, because I don't think it's unreasonable if I'm prepared to drug some tootsie cat that to expect it to be over 18 years old if I'm at the Playboy Mansion. It would be my assumption that the ID check would have done prior to entrance, okay? We're at the Playboy Mansion. I shouldn't have to question the age of the tootsie cat. Okay, it should just be automatic that it's 18 or over. But in terms of him doing his plea in the Fifth, listen, Bill Cosby said, "I might be old and senile, but I ain't that damn senile. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me." They done got his ass caught up before using testimony from one case to do another. He said, not today, bitch. Not today."
So you saying it ain't the drugging, it's the drugging of a 15-year-old, because, you know,
that's what I mean. Okay. You know, once you factor in the era of time and where they was at,
okay, I see you, Al. What do you got to say about this? I remind you, Bill Cosby is a rich Black man, so go ahead and defend him.
Listen, cut it out. But you have to defend him in this case, because this is the intersection between criminal law and civil law, obviously, right? And he's using his Fifth Amendment to protect himself in the civil proceedings, because he still has a pending criminal proceeding for the matter with the state. Remember, the criminal is the state. The civil is with the girl and her family. So he better not say anything. And like I said before on this show, he just needs to be quiet. He just needs to be quiet and needs to go away, because everyone's going to come after him now.
Remember before he went to prison, he was really playing up the "I'm blind, I'm sick, I can barely go to jail." And then as soon as he got released, this motherfucker talked about he want to go on tour and do comedy shows. He needs to go back to that blind old thing for a little while. Just be quiet.
No. Yes,
okay. I agree.
All right, hashtag free PJ has been going viral. Y'all seen this story? It was reported that the Charlotte Hornets player PJ Washington was ordered to pay his ex $200,000 a month. Now, she's a former, she's a social media model, Instagram model. Her name is Brittany Renner. Now, they're saying $200,000 a month in child support after she decided to leave him. And check this out. She left him only 2 weeks after she gave birth to their kid. Now, you know, FYI, Brittany is known for dating rappers and athletes, and a clip has surfaced of her saying, "Now, women, if you want an easy payday, you should F an athlete because they're really dumb." Now, the two met in 2019 when he was just 18 years old, a rookie, and she was 27 years old and a fan on the sideline. Was this a trap, or did he just get what he deserved? What do y'all think?
Listen, it was clearly she had an agenda, right? But listen, if they use the same formula to calculate his child support that they use to make Jamal have to pay Tanisha $270 every 2 weeks out of his check, then I'm all for it. If it's the same formula and the math is mathing, then, oh, well, I mean, it's just that, you know, it's just you being penalized for earning what you earn.
Ow.
Listen, this young lady, Brittany, to me, appears to be a very smart young woman. Allegedly, she's been grooming him since he was 18, right? Since he was 18, she's been grooming him. And that, like you said, that video surfaced. Not only did she say that they were dumb and that they have sex without condoms, but she said getting child support payments is a given. She was just like, it's a cinch. And that's exactly what that young lady did. She groomed him since he was 18. The second she got pregnant and had that baby, she threw up the deuces sign and said, "I'm out, and give me my child support." Let me tell you something. This is a cautionary tale. And young men out there in the NBA and rappers and entertainers, you guys need to take that new male contraceptive. It's called, what is it, y'all? DMAU. That's the new male contraceptive where they cannot impregnate women. Do that and see how long these hunters, I call them hunters and groomers, keep messing with these professional athletes.
I just think that she is a savage.
She is.
That baby's umbilical cord ain't even dried up enough to make a belly button.
And she done filed for child support.
You know, the only thing that's sad that's not really funny is sometimes God will punish your kids for your sins. Yeah. And
right,
he may not be mature enough to not look at that child and harbor a lot of resentment. And while this child might be laced in Gucci and gold, this child might actually also be fatherless, misled, and all the problems that come along with having an absentee father. And I think that's the part that she's not computing in that child support calculation. And that's the part that's actually priceless.
And she does add to the resentment that's already out there, especially when a Black woman comes after a rich man for child support. It's already that she's a gold digger and a hoochie and a hoe. That's already the narrative that they want to already assume with everyone. So I kind of feel like, you know, she's not helping. The average, just some interesting facts, the average career span of an NBA player, 4.5 years is the average career length. And the average earnings is $24 million. NFL, $6 million. Major League Baseball, $17 million. And the hockey players, $13 million. So $200,000 a month, she will not get that for long. I think that's a temporary thing. So, all right, listen, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we have more TGIF. Man, that girl, savage of the year. Savage.
She playing the whole thing.
Welcome back to TGIF. I am joined by Al Reynolds and Funky Dineva. We are doing our thing. We're having a good time. If you're having a good time in the chat, go ahead and throw some hearts for us and show your love. Got to get into the story real quick. Lizzo and Cardi B, they dropped their video, the artwork, the song. There was an interview with Lizzo on The Breakfast Club where she spoke about Cardi whispering something into her ear, I guess for motivation. It was on the Rumors video. Lizzo said that Cardi said she wanted to eat that Tootsie Cat and it made her a little wet.
Not the Tootsie Cat.
Oh, Lord, it's just giving me waste management realness. You know what I mean? I just don't want to picture this. Move on, Claudia.
Did it say waste management?
All I'm picturing right now is Rasputia Lattimore talking about, Oh, he want to see a bitch go down the slide. I'll show a bitch how to go down the slide. That's just all I'm picturing.
She looked like she was going down a slide in that video. Remember when they were coming down the steps?
Yes.
Oh, my God. But I will say, aside from that, the video is off the chain. It's got all the elements to be a radio success. And I actually want to see more of Lizzo doing this, doing her art, making good music. Right. You know,
mixed and keeping her clothes on.
Yeah. Mixed opinions about the song or whatever. A lot of people say it's a pass for them, but it definitely has all the ingredients to be a radio hit. The machine is obviously behind it. Big budget video. It looks good. And both of those ladies did do their thing.
I haven't fallen in love with the song yet, but it takes me a minute. But I like what they're saying, like the lyrics. And I really like Cardi's verse. I thought she did a good job. Al, did you see the video?
I did. I'm just not creative enough. Sorry. The her being pregnant and belly out and Lizzo with that weird outfit on and the hair thing. I mean, there's a lot going on.
Oh, it was a lot going on in that video. A lot ago. Yeah. There was a penis shaped chain. Right.
Oh, I didn't even catch that.
Yeah. So, okay. So we don't want to visualize Cardi B going down on Lizzo.
No.
I really feel like, once again, I said the other day, it's just too much in our, it's a lot. But I am glad to see some outfits. All right, Britney Spears is almost free, you guys. After months of public pressure, her father, James Spears, agreed to step down as Britney's conservator. Now, this comes just weeks after Britney's new attorney filed a petition to replace her father. Now, the document, let me just go through this long statement that he made. I don't want to even get into it. Are you guys excited for Britney that there has been some progress? And I really feel like a lot of it came about because of the public. And do you think she'll be able to forgive her dad for this?
So I definitely think the Free Britney movement put pressure on the universe to make some wheels start turning. I think that the father is doing this only because there was a risk of a forensic audit that probably would have showed that he did mismanage some of that girl's money. I don't feel like this is just a voluntary move. I mean, he had a vested interest in protecting his role as that conservator. And we know it was financial in nature, in my opinion. But I will say this, y'all. I saw that video of Britney freaking out about having that iPad. And while I'm not a doctor, there was something about that just rang. She is not
ready
here. So while we screaming free Britney, yes, and maybe we need to amend that to not free Britney, but what it is when they send them to a new prison, you know,
halfway house.
Yeah, let's get her out the prison and put her in a halfway house situation per se, because something obviously is not right.
What do you think, Al?
Well, first of all, guys, the conservatorship is not going anywhere. That's not what the ruling was. The ruling is only to relieve the father of the conservatorship. The court still found that the conservatorship is needed. And like you said, Q, just from a glimpse of what you saw was concerned, the courts still say that the conservatorship has to stay. And as relates to the father, I think that he probably was influenced by popular opinion, right? Because the public got into this and was making him out to be a bad dad. But it's quite clear, according to the last hearing, that the father saved Britney. Not only did he save her physically, but he protected her reputation and restored her career by putting her on this conservatorship. And no one can debate that.
What do you think about him getting that $16,000 a month for 12 years?
That he will continue to get that for, he got that for 12 years, he will get it for the next 12.
The past 12 years.
Well, you know what? I would have to get a breakdown of his responsibilities.
Well, Britney was getting $14,000 a month, so he was getting $2,000 a month more than his daughter.
I mean, that
I think I would probably have to see that in court documents. I don't know what that is, but do know this: before and when he took over the conservatorship, she was in debt. Like, she was on the verge of going bankrupt. All right, remember? So he actually turned that all around by putting everybody, including the family members, on a budget, and her too. So I think that was a part of the not only mental health relief, but also the financial concerns that the courts found when they audited her books in order to initiate the conservatorship.
And like I said, I would just have to see what all his roles were. Like if he was serving as the manager, the conservator, and all this, this, that, and the third, I think it's less about how much he's getting versus what she's getting. And is he being paid adequately for the roles that he serves? And it's so funny because I'm actually in this situation now with my brother. I'm his conservator. And when I get back, I'm in a situation now where he's been allotted a lump sum of money and I have to figure out, you know, of that, how much he needs weekly or monthly or however I decide I'm going to give it to him. And it's a very sticky situation to be in. I don't like it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But I have to do it because I know if I give him this pot of money, it'll be gone in a week.
Right.
I think this is a case of where the optics look really bad, even if he's doing a good thing. And that's what's swaying public opinion, who's not going to take the time to look through the case and read the documents and, you know what I mean, like do the research. So when we hear, wow, she's still performing, but she's like kind of locked up and she has no control and she has to take birth control and all these kinds of things that sound awful, you know, the optics and the details that we were getting like leaked, I guess, sound really, really bad. Right. Did y'all hear about go ahead.
I was going to say, here's what's funny. I had a friend that's a doctor that sent me a text and said, you need to get your brother a vasectomy. And I was offended by it. I was, because I was like, that's just not your place. And who are you? You haven't even said hello. We haven't even talked in a couple of months. And when I called her, she explained why. And depending on what Brittany's mental illness is, you know what I'm saying? The whole birth control thing may have been about spreading this, you know, having a baby that could have this same issue. I think you used the right word, the optics. I think the optics are bad, but as things begin to unfold, it really is starting to look like the dad was doing the right thing.
Well, as it related to her reproductive, I mean, just I remember reading this in the court documents. It's related to her reproductive. It was because she was exercising some promiscuous ways in which they felt that somebody could come along, have a baby with her, and then, you know, get take out of money. Take her money.
I tell you, being responsible for another adult is no fun cue. I know you're dealing with it. My mom had to take over an elderly woman's life that was being abused, and all of her money was taken by a bank employee who they found guilty of taking $240,000 from this woman. And the outsiders that want some of that money will insult you and question your integrity because they want to get to that. They hate that someone's there to put the brakes and stop the bleeding and, you know, the robbery, I guess you'd say. Also, moving on, the judge in Brittany's case, the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department actually is monitoring threats sent to this judge who happens to be Black because she's getting a lot of hate mail and hate texts to her. The Sheriff's Department said, although some of the language on social media is concerning, at this time it's not been risen to the level of a credible criminal threat. But here are some of the tweets. Judge Brenda Penny needs to effing die. Someone investigate that bitch now. And another Twitter user wrote, Brenda Penny, I will kill your ugly ass now. That sounds like a criminal threat to me, and that should be taken seriously. What do you think?
They need to leave Brenda alone. Brenda, I know Brenda from First Baptist Church. She's on the Urcha board. She's nice. She come to church every Sunday. She help out. She always have something nice. She make the cornbread and she make good potato salad. Y'all leave Brenda alone. Brenda was just doing her job. Y'all reroute all your anger and your grievances to Jamie Lynn Spears, because that's what it deserves, and leave Brenda out of this for just doing her job.
Speaking of potato salad and people who can't make potato salad, according to the 2020 census data, white people are declining in numbers for the first time on record in the overall population. So Hispanics, Asians are booming right now. They've definitely booming in the past decade. Now, the share of the white population fell from 63.7% in 2010 to 57.8% in 2020, which is the lowest on record. Now, do y'all think this explains why the Karen and Kens have been acting so crazy and why the right has been pushing to end abortion? It ain't for us. It's to keep y'all around. What do you think?
Yeah.
Well, look, we know that this demographic change will set off partisan battles over representation, right? So voting rights. So that part we can be a little bit excited about. But I think it's a little premature because remember, this is for the ages of 18 and younger, or younger than 18-year-olds is where this data is coming from. But, you know, the question that I have, to be honest, you two probably haven't applied for a job in a long time or filled out many applications. But do you know that when you fill out an application now, when they ask for your race, the first question they ask is if you're Hispanic or non-Hispanic. And I always wondered, why don't I just pick what my race is? Why are they asking me if I'm Hispanic or non-Hispanic? So if anybody has an answer to that, please hit us up in the chat or DM me, because I need to know, because I really feel like that was used to skew the data. But let's be clear, white people continue to be the most prevalent racial ethnic group in America.
You know, for me, the only thing that I did not like, I just don't like the way that this data is being framed. Very important story. My first job out of college, my CFO told me, Quentin, as an accountant, it is our job to paint the story that we want to paint with the numbers.
That's right.
He told me that because we had our boss, he would spend money crazy and we would have to mislead him with the data. You can take numbers and paint any narrative that you want to paint with factual data. And I hate that I feel like it's propaganda and I feel like it's inflammatory. That's right. And it feeds that whole white people, we're diminishing. Listen, let me tell you something. White people in the white race will not disappear in this lifetime, the next lifetime, or the lifetime after that one. Let's put that out there. You know what I'm saying? Right. So white people, y'all can pipe down. Number two, the article also suggested that the numbers were simply, could be possible that white people are not disappearing per se, but ethnic identities are changing. More people are identifying as multiracial. You know what I'm saying? Right. That seems to me to be a bit more factual, but this whole, the sky is falling, white people are disappearing, you know, representation, they're not going to be here in 20 years. It's
kind of. And then also remember, Q, they said that the number of African Americans numbers decreased significantly. And I always argue that the reason why that decreased significantly is because we don't open the door for census people. At least I know I don't open the door for the census people. You knock on my door, I'm not filling that out.
Yeah. And you know, the African American race, you know, our numbers, our percentage of the population has always been at 13%. Go find you a time when we were not 13%. We stay at 13%.
Because it's the same Negroes that opened the door.
Because
I'm going to tell you something. They had to hound me down. Like, I literally thought I was going to get in trouble because they kept putting things on my door and mailing. And then I opened the door one time. I was hungover as hell. And the man was, I was like, sir, I can't right now. He was like, well, we're just going to keep coming back. So he was like, if you don't talk to one of us, can you please go online and do it? And we will stop knocking on your door. And eventually I did. But I also want to picture it for black people. I think part of our numbers is the fact that we're not sitting barefoot and pregnant in the backwoods of Tennessee any damn more. We're getting educated and women are pausing the brakes on that. They're like, bitch, I don't want to have no damn baby. Like, I want a career I'm educated. And I want a life. You know, go ahead.
I wish we would answer the census questions. It does affect how these districts are drawn. Well, in elections as well. We'll fund it. And we need that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I saw a report today on CNN and we were talking about the potential of, you know, of this population shift and how it could help us down the road. So, all right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have a lot more TGIF when we return.
Hey.
Welcome back to TGIF. I'm your girl, Claudia Jordan, joined by Al Reynolds and Funky Dineva, and we are your new favorite show on Wednesdays and Fridays. Let me read some of the comments in the chat before we get on to eat some more folks alive. Okay, Nicoria says, exactly, Al, treat them like Jehovah's Witnesses, meaning the census people that come to the door. Okay, white is a class, not a race. Funky is crazy as a damn Dickens. Black folks always need spades and a conspiracy. Al is so damn delicious to look at.
Hey.
Okay. Anah Franklin says, we as a people need to stop having that mentality that someone is always out to get us.
I agree.
Okay. And Me Against the World, one more, says, I could have sworn they only did a partial count for the census last year, so these numbers aren't even accurate. All right. Cool.
Al won't open a damn door.
It just scares me. I just find it intrusive. intrusive.
I will say this about Black people, though. Hold on. We are afraid.
Here she go.
We afraid the wrong shit. We are afraid of the census. We are afraid of water. We are afraid of a little vaccine. But these same people I seen in the clubs in Miami doing Molly, passing the blunt from someone they do not know, having raw dog sex with a stranger they just met, eating beef jerky, all kinds of food you do not know what it is, being cokeheads. I know someone that's been going so hard on Instagram that almost got us arrested one time because he did a drug deal with me in the car. I was like, yo, my dude, can you not do this? And he's going hard about the vaccine. I'm like, you poison yourself every 4 days.
Those things make you happy, though.
The reasoning, listen, it's the I don't know what's in that. That's the part that I'm tripping on. It ain't how you live your life. Right. I don't know what's in that. You don't know what's in a lot of the stuff that you have. Especially, have y'all ever passed a blunt in a club?
Of course. It'd
be all wet and you don't know what that wet, like,
that's
come
why,
on.
That's why I don't like smoking, honey. I'm classy. I eat mine when I do the marijuana, or I have to do it out of a little pipe. But that whole bowling is licking it. It's always some random nigga in the corner. It's always some random nigga in the corner with the dress and the goals that's rolling the blunt. So that's just suspect as hell already. Then
no, it's not. You know it's gonna be some good. You know it's gonna be some good weed.
Since I'm the person in the group that smoked the least, I always get it last. So I'm like number 7 on the rotation.
And the strangers, think about how a blunt is even put together. They're licking it and sucking it and like they stroking that thing, you know what I'm saying?
Y'all so,
you
know, nasty. Y'all just nasty.
Al, we didn't judge you after Miami.
That boy.
I probably did smoke after somebody.
Oh, we ain't talking about smoking. Okay.
Oh, we're not?
We're talking about hotel rooms.
Oh, here she go. You know, she good for throwing me under a bus.
But I don't tell all the business. I just hint that we all stuff,
you know,
that we
know. You good for telling all the business now. When I start firing back, don't get sensitive.
I'm glad I don't cheat. All right. Let's move. Speaking of cheating, Tiger Woods' former mistress, Rachel, how you say her name?
Uchitel.
Rachel, you know, the Rachel girl, the one that he paid all the money to. She's claiming that Tiger Woods' lawyers are coming after her for violating an $8 million non-disclosure agreement about speaking about their affair. Now, she signed a 30-page NDA in 2009, shortly after she was outed for having an affair with Woods, who was married at the time. In return for her silence, she was given $5 million and was promised an additional $3 million over the following years. But she's claiming she only pocketed $2 million of the original $5 million because of lawyers' fees, taxes, and et cetera, which is not their fault, really. More than a decade after the affair, Rachel says that the scandal is still impacting her finances, career, mental health, and love life, which she claims she had to file Chapter 7 bankruptcy. She's saying that Woods' lawyers are demanding their money back, $5 million of the money back, because she broke the contract, and they're planning to come after her wages if she gets a job and if she gets married and has a joint account with her husband, they will go after that money as well. What do you think about this?
Matt, let me tell you about this. This is another smart, hustling white woman. So I watched the documentary. I don't know if you guys watched the documentary part 1 and 2 about Tiger Woods and their affair. But she basically said that she spotted him in the nightclub, Griffin. Claudia, you remember Griffin down in the Union District?
Yes.
She spotted him in Griffin where she was a bottle girl. And she said that he would hang out there, but he would be by himself sitting in a corner because, you know, no one really was checking for him. And so she said she made conversation with him only for him to slot her his number. Now, this is the only instance in my grown adult life that I've known in New York City where a bottle girl goes from being a bottle girl to a multimillionaire. Now, let me tell you why I say she's smart. So she took the deal for $8 million, right? She got an advance of $5 million, and they were going to pay her $1 million a year over 3 years, right? But they reneged on paying her the $1 million over the 3 years. She took the $5 million. Now, she can't argue that the attorney that the attorney fees are part of it, because she didn't have to pay attorney fees until she breached the contract, which was way after that. And they breached the contract first. So in order for them not to get her money, she filed for bankruptcy. So smart. So she's still sitting on all that money. And she can't, that's the biggest come up I've seen in a long time. And she got him for what? They were together for 8 years, 6 years, something like that.
Tiger Woods is lucky that's all he had to pay, because right. Let me tell you, I know a guy that used to golf with him, and I told y'all the little teacup story before, coffee cup, okay? Mm-hmm. And this is the only one I know that he paid off. There was the waitress at the Perkins that said they had sex in the parking lots. There was one girl that said all she wanted him to do was put tires on her car, $800 tires, and he said no. And so you a billionaire and you cheating on your wife, you got to pay that tax. And this is what you get. I don't feel bad for him. I don't.
Mm-hmm. It ain't nothing left to be said, honey.
and you know what?
Play silly games, win silly prizes. I mean,
I just feel like, the reason I think she got so much money is because, remember, she was there the longest. She was the most consistent. The other ones were hit it and quit it, but he would continuously go back to her. He had like an entanglement.
You know, the only thing I will say, and the only thought that did come to my mind on this story was the fact that, you know, girl, there are parts of our lives that we don't talk about all the time. It's not hard to not talk about a certain part of your doggone life, especially the part that made you rich. You know what I'm saying? So this whole narrative about I needed to go do the documentary and I need it because I'm tired of being silenced and it's infecting my finances. Girl, yes, positively. It's infecting them positively. Like, stop acting like it's so hard to not talk about that, girl. You talked about it because you wanted to talk about it.
And think how mad that Perkins waitress is that she couldn't even get $800 tires and you could play.
Listen, she wasn't the only one. Shoot, he had a slew of different women. You've got to watch that documentary. I mean, I don't see how he found time to have sex with his wife. He was having sex with so many other women.
He didn't, but we know why she stayed. Hey, must be the money.
That's why she hit him with that golf club and made him crash the car. He was frustrated. We have this story to talk about that's really, really sad. Bank of America Senior Vice President and well-known businesswoman Michelle Avon was found dead in her home. She was allegedly killed by her ex-boyfriend, Anthony Duane, who was a former Bank of America executive. Now, her son found her unconscious, and she was later pronounced dead at the scene with blunt force trauma to her face. Now, although the motive has not been determined, it's being reported that Avon was and Duane previously dated, and she was in the process of filing a restraining order against him. What are your thoughts on this story? Al, I know you really had a lot to say about this one.
Well, you know, she and I worked together at Merrill Lynch back in the early 2000s, and this is really sad. She actually worked in private wealth. I worked in private wealth as well. She did not. I worked at the World Financial Center. She did not work there, but we worked and grew up in the Merrill Lynch banking system. This is really sad because the two of them both are in the Bank of America C-suite, which means they are the highest ranking African-Americans at Bank of America, or one of the few highest ranking African-Americans at Bank of America. I feel like there's something else to this story, because two successful people like that just don't commit crimes like this. Both of them had been at that firm for over 20 plus years. As you know, she was voted most powerful and influential Black woman of the year. She was also voted most powerful businesswoman, Black woman in business. Something reeks of something else here. I don't think that this is a heated tension between a boyfriend and a girlfriend. And I can't wait to see what the LAPD uncovers.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about all these dusty ass people bragging that they don't wash their ass. We'll be back with more TGIF when we return. Welcome back to TGIF. We see y'all in the chats once again. Give us some thumbs up if you're enjoying the show. And we see all y'all. Lots of energy in the chat tonight. And keep that same energy for our rerun tomorrow and watch it again. All right, y'all. Yes. Ladies, are you engaged but not quite sure how to get started? Do you have a list of things to do and need someone to help keep you on track? Well, Zola makes wedding planning easier and less stressful by creating everything couples need all in one place, from wedding vendors, save the dates and invitations, free websites, registries, and so much more. Now, do you know why there are 1 million couples already obsessed with Zola? Because planning is convenient and a blast. There are so many easy ways to get started, and there's no need to keep track of multiple sites. You can plan your whole wedding online right from your couch or in Zola's five-star app. Look, weddings are expensive enough, but the planning doesn't have to be. All of Zola's tools are free, plus you get free guest addressing and free shipping and returns every single day. You can even get personalized paper samples to try out Zola before you buy and check out what all those five-star reviews are all about. Yes, Zola has your back. Now you can even stream your virtual events for free on Zola's website. Go ahead and go to zola.com/T today and use promo code SAVE50. That's SAVE50 to get 50% off your Save the Dates. And for your peace of mind, you'll receive free Change the Dates with your purchase. That's zola.com/T, promo code SAVE50. Now, speaking of weddings, Raven Simone, we got to get into this Raven Simone story. Did y'all hear about this?
I rolled my ass so hard when we read this story. Go ahead and get it, folks, the details so I can get this girl together real quick.
Okay. In a recent interview, Raven Simone revealed that, you know, she got backlash from the Black community, and that's what caused her to break up with her white girlfriend, Miranda, who she's now married to. Raven Simone mentioned that she felt uncomfortable in her relationship because Black people would stare at them. Raven's wife, Miranda, says that it caused them to break up in the past, but she had no idea it was an issue because she was raised in a community where interracial relationships were never questioned. Do you think our community is a little judgmental when it comes to interracial dating, or do you think this is something that they're imagining? What do you think?
Now, listen, our community is judgmental as hell on a lot of things. And Raven had a cornucopia of reasons for people to come at her. She was bisexual or however she was identifying. She non-binary. You probably don't wash her ass either with the rest of these damn white folk and all these other things. But I'm here to tell you that Raven Simone, you lying. You sitting up here lying, talking about this fear of Black people and Black life, because Black people wasn't even messing with your ass, Raven. No. Now, one thing about Raven that I will say, Raven Simone is our token go-to child for, we've got a black star that turned out great, that didn't get on drugs, that's doing great things. But Black people was not paying Raven Simone ass no attention. We didn't give a damn if she was fat, skinny, if she bleached her hair, she bleached her skin, if she was dating women's dogs or flower pots. We did not care. Raven was over there playing with them kids over there on Disney, selling her clothes in Walmart, selling lunch boxes and doing what it is she doing. And Black people was at the picnic, which she was never invited to, doing the Frankie Beverly and Maze 2-foot shuffle. Raven made all this up in her head. And it may have something to do with her own upbringing and her family's beliefs, but it damn sure wasn't the Black collective, because Raven, you never even, we have given you invitations to the cookout and you always declined. You was never there. Raven was never on Black people's radar. So I don't know where any of this is coming from.
I think she turned people off when she said she was dark white on The View. Remember, she said she was dark.
And then the whole, you know, but if I'm not going to hire you, if your name is Watermelonisha and all that other stuff she said. But even before she got on The View, wasn't nobody Black checking for Raven Simone ass? She served one purpose for us, and that was our go-to child star token. And beyond that, literally, and it's not because we don't love her. It's just that Raven, by virtue of her career trajectory and where it went, she just did not show up on our radars. Not to mention, she occupied a lot of white spaces where we wasn't at. Wasn't nobody worrying. Raven, girl, you could have been out there dating donkeys and dogs for all we would have known, and would nobody have cared?
We're going to take a quick break on that note, Al. We're going to hear what you have to say about some things when we return. We'll be back.
All right.
Welcome back to TGIF. I'm your girl, Claudia Jordan, with Al Reynolds and Funky Dineva. Hey, y'all. Y'all need to get this COVID together and get your asses in the house. Take whatever you got to take. Wear the mask, because we want to get back in the studio and work together. Can you imagine this crew together in person?
They're not ready.
Y'all can see Al full length and see how big his booty is.
Here she go.
Q gonna serve Versace bikini briefs. And I'm gonna throw something on, throw it together. But it's gonna be fun to be in the studio with you. I'm really looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it too.
Okay, well, let's get into this last couple of stories. A Vegas landlord shot and killed two women and also shot a man 9 times who's apparently clinging to his life after an argument over unpaid rent and a possible eviction. 78-year-old landlord Arnaldo Lanzano Sanchez says, "I wanted to handle it my way. When police arrived at the property, they found one woman dead outside. The other female was pronounced dead in the bedroom, and a male tenant is currently in the hospital in critical condition." I mean, he's really not going to get the money now. So,
right. Well, and he don't got to worry about spending much time in prison because he ain't got much time left on earth. But I'm going to tell y'all something. I'm going to tell y'all exactly what the hell happened here. And I ain't even got all the details, don't need to have them. And some of you Negroes out there, y'all need to listen at this story as it's a cautionary tale. Them people took advantage of what was going on in the government and ain't paid their rent for over 9 months. They got the stimulus, the PPP money, and that man grandkids was telling that man how they ass was in Miami and eating crab legs and had bought jewelry and didn't pay that man his rent. We know in these last couple of months, these cities been lifting these moratoriums off these rents and going forward with these evictions, and that man wanted his goddamn money and they didn't have it. And when he showed up to the door trying to work something out with them people, they got to talking that big shit to that man, and that man wasn't having it. That man was 18 months worth of mad, and now they ass 18 feet under the damn ground for messing around with that PPP. That PPP and them crab legs get people caught up all the time. So if you is backed up on your rent and you were stunting on the social media, you might want to move before your landlord come to knocking at your door. Or pay the people their damn money. Pick your choice. I would just move. If I'm 18 months backed up, bitch, you just ain't getting it. Jesus gave it up on Calvary for this free rent. And I would just move.
How much is rent in Vegas? Like $500? Like, how much is rent in Vegas?
I mean, but when you multiply it by 18 months or 12 months, then divide it by the price for crab legs and multiply that by 3 flights to Miami, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot. And subtract all that from the PPP, ain't nothing left.
Okay.
And that man, you can't owe me 9 months worth of rent and talk about, well, I ain't got your 9, but here go last month, and I'm going to need some time for this month. That man wasn't having it.
Okay. Al, I want to get your take on this next story before we get to the game. Tesla, speaking of money, Tesla has been ordered to pay around $1 million to a former employee who says that he was called the N-word while working in the factory. Now, Melvin Berry said Tesla supervisors called him racial slurs, which caused him emotional and psychological harm. Berry also said that he was forced to work long hours and push heavier carts of material after he complained. They put the, you know, cracked the whip on him. He was awarded $1 million, but more than $750,000 will go towards attorney and legal fees, which will leave him with only $260,000. What are your thoughts on this? Is this fair? The real crime is what the lawyers did to him, though.
Yeah. No, let me tell you what this is. This is a prime example of knowing which lawyer to take your case to. All right. How many of us have actually had these types of things happen to us? And when we file EEOC complaints, we get shooed to the side. This man got lucky and he got a group of attorneys, probably don't look like you and I, to represent him. And he got $1 million out of Tesla. But the truth is, he got taken advantage of. They got $750,000, more than $750,000 to represent this man. And what a payday that was for the lawyers, because he only got $250,000.
I wish he would have called me, because all of my lawsuits.
You got $5,000.
No. I didn't. In some lawsuits, there's a way you can work it where it can be written to you as pain and suffering and it doesn't get taxed. Like, there's all these ways around it. Like, you can get a bigger, like, yeah, I don't know.
Basically, remember, he didn't go to court, Claudia. He went to arbitration.
I didn't go to court either. I did.
So right. In arbitration, what happened in this case, in arbitration, the arbitrator and the lawyers came up with the final decision. So the final decision was, this will go away if you pay my lawyer fees and give me X amount of dollars. And that's how it happened.
But no, the lawyers screwed him, what it tested did. The lawyers,
right. Lawyers are the one that won in this case.
Right. So it's important before to have that arrangement. You can have these. Listen, it doesn't have to be. Some of these lawyers are getting 40% and some are not. It just all got to be worked out prior. Call me next time.
That lawyer is getting 75%.
That's what I'm saying. That's crazy. That should be illegal. Okay, before we go, we're going to play a game of Emoji Me This, where you try to guess the name of a movie based on emojis. These are all Black films, okay? All right, are you ready? We got to try to squeeze this in. Okay.
Black Panther.
Got it, Black Panther. Damn. All right, cool. Next one. Love and Basketball. Okay. All right, let's keep it coming. How Stella Got Her Groove Back.
Ah,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. House Party.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's cute.
That was cute.
That was a cute one.
Oh.
Coming to America. That's cute.
That's cute. Drumline.
Five Heartbeats.
Mama, I Wanna Sing.
Five Heartbeats.
Jackson Five.
That was cute. I like that game. Y'all like that game?
That was fun.
It was okay.
There's always one.
Ain't there?
Did he call me Dusty?
No, okay. I said there's always one.
No, he called me Dusty. The producer called me Dusty.
Oh, file an EEOC like the Tesla man and get your $1 million, friend.
Right.
I want to thank my co-hosts, Al Reynolds and Funky Dineva, for joining me tonight. We had a great time. Make sure you get back with us on Wednesday and watch the repeat tomorrow right here on Foxhole on the YouTube channels. Stay tuned. The Tammy Mac Show is up next. Y'all be safe out there. Q, be careful out there. Bye. Great show.
Have a good night.